This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
So I'll probably hate it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati here on an agenda-free Friday getaway day. And the first thing I did today, Jimmy, when I came in is I logged in before I even wiped down my mic. So that means you may release the hounds at 617-779-0985. Agenda-free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges, they don't. PlanetFitness.com. As soon as you call in, get loaded up on the screen. We'll go to you. We start with opening thoughts. We have Big Jim Murray in for Maz, Marshall Hook in our update studios. And let's go, boys. You want to go first, Sarah Murray?
Yeah, sure. Finally, for the first time since the Astros series earlier this month, we have a real series for the Red Sox starting tonight in the Bronx for the first of three against the Yankees. Real baseball. If you want to make a case for this, the Mariners over the last few weeks, don't bother. They're frauds. This Angels team, shame on me for thinking that they were actually going to be a contender, because it turns out they stink just as bad as everyone else in the American League, despite Alex Cora spinning the wheel of gutless bums again last night and landing on Joe Kelly again and him doing his best to give it away again. He gets bailed out by the defense and Jackie Bradley Jr., of all people, who's made a deal with the devil so he can have his token one good month. So he gets bailed out. They've won four straight, six of their last seven. Angels are frauds. Yawn. Like, it means little to me. I talked about this in the Baseball Reporter's filling in for Maz last night. Like, the 55 wins now? Yeah, great team. Legit. But for now, I don't have the whiteboard anymore, but I'm adding just a tiny little asterisk.
Oh, an asterisk?
Not a Bridgie C's size asterisk, but just a little guy. Just a little speck of an asterisk, because the league stinks. It stinks. Maz has talked about this. Anyone that's been paying attention knows it. You see Shaughnessy tweet about it after all these series that they're wiping up, this bad competition. The league stinks. The competition thus far, outside of the other two good teams in the American League, Houston and New York, sucks. So I don't really know what to make of this team. Yeah, they're good, I guess. So you want me to believe in the 2018 Red Sox? You want me to take this team seriously? You want me to think that they're not going to gag in October for the third straight year? Take two of three this weekend. And the enormity of this series can't be stressed enough. You got 13 left starting tonight against this team. You're going to be neck and neck with the Yankees from now until October.
So you're saying if they take two or three, you show up on Monday buying in?
Yes.
No matter how they do it.
Yeah.
If they blow three leads in the eighth inning but still win two of those games.
Oh, no. I'll still be concerned about the bullpen.
I'm not saying that, but you'll be buying in. You're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Jimmy, what are the odds? What are the odds?
Yeah. They're going to get swept this weekend. You watch.
Oh, I don't feel great about it. I don't. I mean, look, there's things that they're lucky. David Price is lucky that Gary Sanchez is out of the lineup, because he's owned that ass. And Luis Severino, like, you know, on paper, that's not a good matchup. He's the guy who's arguably the best pitcher in baseball right now. So prove me wrong. Let me erase that asterisk.
Okay, that's Murray's opening take. Again, you can join us at 617-779-0985. Load them up. We'll get to you as soon as you're up there. Hook, what's your opening take?
So Murray there just mentioned Jackie Bradley's one good month. Well, right now we're at Jackie Bradley's one good four games, right? And we listened to this offseason, last season, but generally this offseason, they really got high on this. You can't trade Jackie Bradley Jr. for Jose Abreu. You can't trade him for Edwin Encarnacion. He is hugely important to this team. And you guys who don't watch, you don't know. You're not there. You need to watch every game. You need to be down here at the ballpark, Pete Abe. You need to be here because you don't understand how valuable this guy is. Well, I didn't hear those guys in April and May. They kind of disappeared. We weren't hearing anymore about how important Jackie Bradley was to this team when he was hitting 121 or whatever it was, and was thankful every day that Blake Swihart was on the team to make sure at least one guy had a batting average lower than him. I am curious to see how quickly it takes for these guys to reemerge from their hibernation. How quickly? How many games? Because what are we at? Four? Five?
Four.
I mean, it's not even been a full week.
Four.
So we're at four games.
And in one of the four, he went one for four. So yeah. It's really three out of the last four, but go ahead.
So, I mean, if he disappears, as I fully expect he will this weekend, will they just, I mean, are they kind of poking out of the hole a little bit, you know, looking,
yes,
looking around? Are, is it safe to come out? Oh, nope, going to dive right back in there. But I, if to your point, this weekend, will, if Jackie Bradley Jr. does, I mean, frankly, if he goes, you know, hits 250 for this weekend, all singles, no runs, I think that'll be enough for these guys to reemerge and tell us that we were stupid and dumb all along. We never really understood. And, you know, the stuff that Alex Cora said about, oh, well, he had stopped smiling, Jackie Bradley Jr.
Oh,
he had stopped smiling, and now he's smiling again. And I think, well, that's just thrilling. It's great that Jackie Bradley Jr. is smiling again, and now all of these beat guys who told us how stupid we were in the off season are just about ready to come out and tell us how stupid we are again and how we lost faith in the smiling Jackie Bradley Jr.
Okay, mine's on the Bruins, and it's simple and it's quick. I've said it a couple times this week, but I'll just reiterate it. Whether you get John Tavares or not, whether you get him or not, you have done work internally on your payroll to make sure you have the room for John Tavares. That's already done. You have that. You've done that work. You know where you can save money. You know how you can afford him. So you know how to create that room. So whether you have moves in your back pocket or not, or moves you know you can make, they're there. And my point the last couple days, and I'll reiterate it right now, is you should still make them, whether you get John Tavares or not. If you can get out from David Backes' contract, do it, whether you can get Tavares or not. If you can get out from under David Krejci's contract, do it, whether you get John Tavares or not. Whatever moves you have lined up to create that room, still go get that room. And then we'll figure out what to do with it, whether Tavares comes here or not. So we will give you the very latest on Tavares, if anything comes down on that today. We'll give the very latest on LeBron. There's already developments on that and across the league and the Celtics' involvement and all the NBA drama. We'll do that all day long with your calls on Agenda Free Friday. And as promised, right to you. Why don't we start off with Anonymous? If he's not going to give us his name, we'll just start off with him. He's in Haverhill. Go ahead, Anonymous in Haverhill.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
How are you? I got some heavy news. I heard... I'm a truck driver. I was on the road, and I ran into this guy from Jameis Winston's hometown. Back in high school, he said he had paid his way out of certain situations there. That's never been said. Nobody said anything about that.
Well, there you go. You just said it. You don't think a lot of these guys have skeletons in their closet? Let me tell you. There was a certain tight end who played at Florida who was rumored to have murdered somebody. That got swept under the rug by the local authorities and ignored by, well, at least one NFL team that drafted him. So, I don't know how far you want to go with that or what exactly your point is, but is Jameis Winston a bad dude and an idiot and just bad news all the way around? You bet.
Yeah. Read into that story at Florida State when he was there, and he ended up settling with the girl that there was the sexual harassment or the sexual assault rape that happened there. And both the school and the cops helped to cover it up. But they ended up settling with her, just like Ben Roethlisberger settled with the girl that he had the sexual assault against back in Chicago, whenever that was, you know, 8 years ago, whatever it is. The guy's a bad guy. There's a long sheet there with that guy.
It's amazing he made it as long as he did without getting suspended.
Right. And it's all a matter of time before something else happens with Jameis Winston.
Him, Zeke Elliott, I mean, you name it. There's just time bombs in the league that you know are, it's just coming. And it was coming for Winston. The question is, does he just remain this, you know, this guy, or does he grow up, evolve, mature? Who the hell knows? Josh in Gloucester on Jackie Bradley. Go ahead, Josh.
Hook, we're emerging, and you're right. You were always stupid and dumb. So you have this kind of thing you like to say, Jackie has one good month a year. Listen, he's sucked this year. Capital S suck. But I just don't understand where you're getting this. He hits 1 month a year. He established himself as a regular the second half of 2015. He had a 2 year stretch at that point where he hit 270 over two full years. And he had an 830 OPS. Go look it up. He sucked this year. They got to figure out how to get him back to what he showed with his previous.
How about second half of last year, Josh? Because it was the entire second half.
Oh yeah, I don't know what I don't know if the guy got hurt or if he is just. I've heard on the baseball show with Lou, he's just stubborn. He won't make the adjustments. I think that might be it because you know it doesn't look like he's hurt, but they got to figure out how to keep him good because they really are a different team when he hits well.
If he has had a 2 year stretch where he hit, as you said, a solid 280. He's never come close to hitting 280 for a season. So where would that two-year stretch be?
It's creative accounting.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got to that, but
I mean, his batting averages have by season 249, 267, 245, and 202 this year.
He's a career, is a 235 hitter? What's his career?
235, yeah.
He's a 235 hitter, career. So, and how many plate appearances? Like 2,300. We looked this up the other
day. 2,227. So, yeah. But that's, again, if you hit 280 for 2 years, then in theory, there would be at least one season where you hit at least 280.
So
it's not here.
When that caller says he established himself as a regular, I would dispute that and say, well, maybe he just had a little stretch there where there was nothing else in the on the team, and he hit well enough to be a starter. But has he ever truly established himself as an everyday major league ball player? I don't think he is.
No, no, not at all. And what you're seeing here over this four-game stretch that Hook has mentioned is more the anomaly than anything else. I mean, you're more often to get more often than not going to get a, you know, an 0-for-3, three strikeout night from Jackie Bradley Jr. rather than, you know, what you've seen the last few nights and him hitting that home run in the seventh last night off some bum.
All right, are they a different team when he hits? Yes.
Sure.
Every team's a different team when their 8 and 9 hitters hit.
Right.
That's not a Jackie Bradley commentary. That's a commentary on whoever is your suckiest hitter at the bottom of your lineup hitting. So that's not Jackie. Every team has one of those. Every team, we are a much different team when this bag of crap hits in the 9 hole. So that's not a Jackie Bradley thing. That's baseball. We're off and running on Agenda Free Friday. That's how it goes. We continue with your calls right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Certainly the Lakers are, if he's going to leave Cleveland, are a team he's giving great consideration to. And the possibility of returning to Cleveland still exists. He could re-sign on a short-term, long-term deal. Getting LeBron becomes much harder now for the Houston Rockets, whose best chance would have been in a sign-and-trade agreement. They would have needed LeBron to opt into his deal and then work with Cleveland to find some pieces that they could have traded like they did with Chris Paul last year and the Clippers.
So that's Woj on the breaking news from today, which is LeBron James opted out of his contract in Cleveland. This is an NBA problem where I just can't tell you exactly what that means. You know what I mean? Like, he even said it there. It's like, he can go back to Cleveland. Now, the fact that he opted out makes it less likely for him to go to Houston. Not more. How? Why? Huh? And I'm sure, you know, Jimmy or the NBAologist, you know, the hoopologist could explain it to you, but it'd make you want
to... Right, because it comes down to the money and the cap.
Yeah, throw yourself off a tall building listening to this crap. Like, it's... So, like, it'd be so much better. He opted out, he's done with Cleveland. I would like to be able to give you that story. Like, that's just so much easier.
Well, no, he can go back and then do another one and one. And, I mean, this is what happens in this league. Like,
oh,
you said,
God.
This is one of the things that makes it so annoying.
Too many technicalities. But, Jimmy, if I asked you in general, generally speaking, him opting out, does it make it more likely for him to go to the Lakers or less likely?
I would say more likely to leave for the Lakers.
More likely that he opted out?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to stick with that. And not ask you why or what
right.
for. Okay, so
LeBron going to the Lakers.
So LeBron Very is likely. One step closer to going to the Lakers. Does that mean Kawhi Leonard is one step closer to going to the Lakers? And does that mean you're one step farther away from getting Kawhi Leonard? That's how I would just sort of connect all those things. Jimmy, what do you think?
No.
What do you think? What do you believe at this hour?
I still believe that it's LeBron James and Paul George going to the Lakers. And if the Lakers get Kawhi Leonard, it's next offseason, not this offseason.
For Paul George. Oh, I'm sorry. Kawhi Leonard's not going there under any circumstance this offseason.
That's my opinion as it stands right now, Friday, June 29th at 2:20.
And the Celts are off, are out on all this stuff.
I believe the Celtics are not in on Kawhi Leonard.
And do you believe that Kawhi Leonard will actually play for the Spurs next year, or is he going to sit out?
I think they will try to make him play for the Spurs this year. I think this is going to be more likely an August trade of the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard.
All right. So, that's what we believe at this hour. Again, this stuff changes.
Greg Popovich, very spiteful, like Tom Brady. I kind of like it.
So, I think if Popovich has his way, Kawhi Leonard's playing 82 games this year for the Spurs.
Okay. We continue with your thoughts here on Agenda Free Friday. Pete in Essex, what do you make of the NBA stuff?
Well, you know, I can appreciate the talent that LeBron has. But this week, the Lakers have shown why I wouldn't want any part of dealing with him. Because, you know, he needs... So say his ask is, I need Kawhi in place before I'll sign with L.A. So he forces L.A. to give San Antonio more than they deserve because San Antonio's working under pressure to make a deal. And what team or anyone makes a good decision when under the pressure of, say, time constraints? I mean, you don't put together a good deal in 48 hours. You think about it and you make it work the best for you.
Pete. You are so right. I mean, you are so right. This is LeBron James doing exactly what he did in Miami or back in Cleveland. I want this guy. I want that guy. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. Team jumps through hoops, bends over backwards, makes all sorts of bad or ill-advised or rushed moves just to appease. You're so right. Are you worried? But hold on. Do you think that would happen here? Do you think that would happen here?
No, and here's why. My next point, Mike, is, you know, if you bring him in, you might as well just start looking for your next coach now, because your poor coach is done. And I think the Celtics think too much of Brad to bring or to do something along these lines.
See, I don't believe that, Pete. I think if he came here, it would be a signal that he was willing to fit into an existing situation as opposed to creating his own. And I maybe I'm stupid to believe that, but the Lakers...
I mean, his influence would still be heard, though. I don't think that he's still a bad guy like Maz, but...
No, his influence would be heard, but he wouldn't be doing here. He has to do it in L.A. because there's a vacuum. There's nothing there. And he did it in Miami because they had one piece. And so he did it there. And when he went back to Cleveland, there was nothing there.
Yeah, even with 1 foot out the door, he begged them to draft Shabazz Napier out of UConn, and then he left.
Exactly. So, but here, it's all in place, and if he came here, he would have to accept that, and I think that he would. And, you know, maybe I'm stupid to feel that way. Is this Isaiah in Halifax or Ivea in Halifax? Go ahead.
Yes. Hey, do you think LeBron will come to Boston?
I don't think it's likely.
Alrighty.
Okay, babe. That was easy.
But now that he's opted out, I mean, they can make that phone call, right?
So, is it Jimmy, him opting out, make it more likely that he would come to the Celtics?
Yes, but I don't think he's coming here. I think it's Los Angeles. The Lakers are where LeBron James is going.
Okay, so I didn't say, you know, that it was likely, just more likely than it would be that if he opted in. So the opting out creates more opportunity, except for Houston for some reason, which I'm not going to, well, unless you can give it to me in 2 seconds.
Houston has to send salary out to get LeBron James, so they would send that salary to Cleveland directly.
Got it. So that's why a trade would make more sense for them versus a free agent signing. They couldn't just sign him as a free agent. Gotcha. I understood that.
Little low energy, though, there back there, Jimmy. We might need to order you a pizza.
I haven't eaten yet today.
All right.
What do we got here? Pat in Boston on the Bees. Hi, Pat.
Hi. All right. So I think everybody is kind of getting wrapped up, and nobody's really thinking about the potential consequences of not getting Tavares here. And everybody's kind of just happy that the Bruins are involved in this sequence. But you have to think that if the Bruins don't get Tavares, he could be going to Toronto and he could be going to Tampa Bay, two teams that you've played in the playoffs this year.
It's true.
You could have him in your division for the next 7 years. And that isn't going to be fun seeing these teams in the playoffs every time.
Yeah, Pat, there's no question about it. That forward group in Toronto skated circles around your ass as it is. Now you add Tavares to it. They go Austin Matthews, Tavares, 1-2 at center down the middle, and then never mind.
Oh, him going to Tampa, I think, would be a bigger problem.
Marner,
I mean, that's like a
Nylander, super team. And then, but if Tampa, even worse. Oh, no question, no question. You want him. You know, Dallas or San Jose. I just still can't wrap my head around him actually doing that. It's probably, you know, I have no idea where it stands. Back to the island, I think you'd be okay there too, because I think he's sort of buried there, and I have no faith that they'll ever get that thing pointed in the right direction, you know?
Then again, new GM and Lamorello, who had success with New Jersey, they're bringing Barry Trotz. Maybe those two turn it around.
Yeah.
But they're still a ways off.
Ways, it feels like. Andrew in Beverly Farms following up on the Bruins. Yes, Andrew?
Hey, David Backus, use caution. Remember, the reason they got David Backus and overpaid for him was because Chiarelli got rid of Sean Thornton, and they had no leadership in the room. They bring in Backus, and he is the heart of the team. He got 29 feet of his colon taken out, and 5 days later, he's whacking people 10 years younger than him
over
every inch of the garden.
Andrew, he's a badass. He's tremendous.
He's the heart and soul. I told that story to St. Louis fans. I work at the garden, and they said they miss him over there. He's the heart and soul of the team, just like Ray Bourque was.
Remember
what it was like when they got rid of Bourque?
Well, just let me stop you for a second, Andrew. Okay, well, you said Sean Thornton. Sean Thornton made $900,000 a year and played fourth-line minutes. This guy makes $6 million a year. He's got 3 years left, and he really can't skate anymore. I mean, that's a gross exaggeration, but he plays at a different...
He's overpaid for what he is.
He plays at a different speed. I mean, I'm all for heart. You need it in hockey. I need leadership, and those things are important in that sport. No question about it. Can you get it for $1 million or $2 on your third or fourth line as opposed to someone like this?
I mean, Andy Ferentz was one of those type of guys, too. You can find people like that.
So, you know, if they need to go find that guy to fill that role, I'm all for it. But $6 million is an overpay. If you're paying a guy that, He's got to be a big goal producer and a steady goal producer on your top six. He spent most of the season on your third line. You can't pay third line guys $6 million. You just can't. And so this goes back to my point. Even if they're not getting Tavares, they should look to clear that money. Even if they're not getting Tavares, they should look and see what David Krejci brings you back. Because I just want that roster flexibility. David and Methuen on the NBA. Hi, David.
Hey, so at what point do you guys think super teams in basketball, that'll transition into baseball or football?
Murray?
I mean, it feels like it's happening in baseball now.
Thank you. Absolutely, that's what it is in baseball. It's as top-heavy as it's been in baseball in a long time.
Yeah, and you have teams straight-up tanking, too. I mean, this is... And look, it's worked out for teams like the Houston Astros. It takes some years, but... Yeah, it's happening in baseball. It's a problem. Some of these games are straight up unwatchable. I was there last night. And it was like, even though Joe Kelly did his best to blow it, and Christian Vasquez is running around the base pass like an idiot and trying to stretch it into a double, he's out. Like, they do their best to try to give these games away, but the competition sucks so bad that, and, you know, look, the Red Sox are a good team. It's not just because everyone else sucks, but some of the stuff is just basically unwatchable because there's three good teams in the American League. That's it.
Yeah, so baseball is there. Football is just the Patriots have skewed it. If you take out the Patriots, it's a good competitive league that has good parity and good sort of, you don't know any given year who's going to be the second best team.
The Eagles were surprised last year.
Well, just go, I think if you just took out the Patriots and the AFC East, the rest of the league is decently balanced in a good range of, you know, half dozen teams a year that if you didn't have the Patriots would be vying with each other and we'd say there were good teams and good competition. It's just the Patriots have been so much better than everybody for so long, it skews it here. But I think the rest of the league is fine. I really do. I mean, if it weren't for the Patriots, the Steelers and the Packers and the Cowboys and, you know, that next tier, the Broncos, they'd all be very good teams. And they'd switch off winning championships. But the Patriots, most of the time, you look at the teams that come in, say, everybody sucks. Everybody sucks, but it's not quite the way it is.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Let's go to some Blockbuster meetings being held at an agency.
Oh my goodness, Blockbuster meetings at an agency.
Live outside the offices of CAA where they are allowing him to stand because he was too close earlier. Arash Madani joining us on the sidewalk.
On the sidewalk? On the avenue, on the corner of Avenue of the Stars and Century Drive.
Wow. Living the life, wow. Babe Madani.
Living the dream, McAllen.
This is
living
why the dream. You're getting the broadcasting, kids.
All right, so what the hell's going
on
there?
What did Parcells say, Sid? Yeah. Sid, what Parcells say? This is why you lift all them weights?
Yes.
All day, there were a bunch of cars that would come in, and nobody wearing a suit that was going to talk to John Tavares was among them. And then at 2:54 local time, a black car was stuck in this little roundabout for a while. And then the doors opened and out walked Brendan Shanahan, Kyle Dubas, and Mike Babcock. And they went inside and they're going to visit with Pat Brisson and John Tavares and the rest of the folks over there to make their free agency pitch.
Where does this rank among the assignments that Arash Madani has got in his life?
Good question.
Pretty much have to say, Timmy, this is around the bottom.
All right.
Not quite the decision. Not quite LeBron James and the NBA sex appeal. That was a live report up in Canada from the John Tavares free agency tour in Los Angeles this week. So no word on that yet. Again, I said this yesterday, and I believe no one has corrected me, so I believe it's true. That if Tavares is going to stay on the island, if he's going to stay with the Islanders, one of the reasons he would do it is because they can offer him eight. No one else can offer him more than 7 years. So he can get a full another year guaranteed out of the Islanders. And if he's going to do that, he has to do it by Saturday. Free agency starts Sunday. So if he gets through Saturday night and is still on the board when we show up on Monday, then it's game on. He's probably going to go somewhere else. And you are in the running, and it gets real.
And I know we poo-pooed San Jose. Because, look, I mean, why wouldn't you? You look at that. At least I do. As one of the great loser franchises in all of sports.
It's a good team.
Good team, and there was a, you know, so on the Players Tribune, it's always by, you know, the athletes, and Evander Kane penned this thing that went up there today on the Players Tribune, just San Jose. I was like, you know what, I'll read this during my morning dump, and after reading it, Mike, like, I don't know, I came away feeling like, oh, he could go there, and here's, like, the money paragraph here. Walking down the downtown San Jose, I must have been stopped 40 times by Sharks fans, no joke. I'd never seen anything like that. So many of them told me what the Sharks meant to them, how hard it was to lose the Cup Finals in 2016, how desperately they wanted me to help them get back there. I sort of thought I'd get to San Jose, walk down the streets in shorts every day, and nobody would recognize me, but this city isn't just a Sharks town. It's a hockey town with a bunch of hockey nuts. So, I don't know. I didn't really know that about there. Tampa, I get it. Look, and that's a big draw there. People want to poo-poo Tampa, too, because it's Florida. But people do give a damn there.
It's not a bad hockey town. It's not.
But after reading this, I was like, oh, wow, San Jose really could be an option for this guy. Whereas, I don't know, prior to reading it, I was like, the Sharks, who the hell would want to go there? So,
okay, we'll see. Again, Saturday, you'll really know more on Tavares on Saturday. Whether he's going back to the island, he'll let him know on Saturday. And we'll probably know before we show up on Monday. If he's still out there, if he doesn't go back to the island, then Monday, it's wide open. There was a report that he was going to start telling teams today. Who
this
are
morning,
out.
Yeah.
So we have. There's been no
nothing.
Sort of. You're on Twitter, right?
Yep.
Okay. So as soon as we know, you'll know out there. In the meantime, back to the phones here on an Agenda Free Friday. I have a giveaway coming up for you folks here in just a little bit. Free wrestling tickets, which I know you like. They're coming up in just a few minutes, so don't go anywhere. But we go back to the phones. Colin, the midday intern, is calling us on Kawhi Leonard. Hi, Colin, the midday intern. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good to call on the show. I got one beef with all the current discourse around Kawhi to Boston right now. So everyone's saying, oh, it's going to be a one-year rental, this and that. I just think that's pretty short-sighted to say, like, oh, just because Kawhi said he wanted to be in L.A., that, oh, it's a guaranteed block, he's going to L.A. If the Boston Celtics were to trade for Kawhi right now, I'm assuming that Paul George and LeBron James are going to the Lakers. And I just don't think that if those two things go down, that being Paul George and LeBron going to L.A., I just don't think Kawhi going to L.A. is really realistic at that point in time. I mean, sure, it'd be great for them to get him, but I feel like they're going to be looking more for like a big man.
So Colin, the intern, yeah, okay, but let me stop you. If you're the Celtics, you can't bet on that. On the Celtics, if you're the Celtics and you're going to give up something real for Kawhi Leonard, you need to know he's staying. You can't guess that.
Sure. No, absolutely. It's definitely a concern that's worth having. I just think that we should be a little more open to, like, I'm hearing people say, no, Jaylen Brown. I'm a yes on Jaylen Brown to sending him to the Spurs for that kind of a trade.
I gotcha. I'd send Jaylen Brown, too, if Kawhi Leonard gave me a commitment of just a couple years. I don't need much. Give me a couple years on top of what you've already got. So 3 years. I would do that, too. And if you would say it, well, yeah, we can convince him to stay, and, you know, he's not going to like it in L.A., and when he gets him here, we'll convince him. That's all well and good, except why would you take that risk?
Yeah, I'd need the commitment, and I would also like an explanation as to what the hell happened last year, because we still don't have that in terms of his strained quad, how he alienated his teammates, how he alienated Greg Popovich, the best coach in the league. There's still real no answer there.
So Danny Ainge today sort of poo-pooed any action here from the Celtics. Jimmy, if we have the sound, we can play it. If not, I'll just read the quote. Basically, we don't have a need, he said. We don't really have a need. We have really good players, Ainge said. We need to surround them with role players with the rest of our roster that have a chance to win. He said, we explore every trade of players of certain magnitude, superstar, first battle, Hall of Fame type players. We're going to take a look, kick the tires, and see if there's something there. But I think those things are unlikely.
Good. So, stand pat.
So it's basically, Danny gave a stand pat message today.
Yeah. Call up New Orleans, ask about Anthony Davis. You get that, no, hang up, and stand pat.
LeBron wants to talk to you. You talk to him.
Sure.
Talk to him. And Popovich wants to talk to you about Kawhi Leonard. You talk to him. And if you have a belief that Kawhi Leonard would stay, then really talk to him and give up something. But short of that, I don't blame him. I don't blame him for standing pat on that. Here's Pete in Delaware. What do you got, Pete?
I had a question for Jimmy. There was a report yesterday, and it was pretty accurate, that the Celtics could not make a trade for Anthony Davis this offseason because of the Kyrie Irving trade. And I was wondering if Jimmy Stewart heard that and if he knows.
Yes.
What this is.
Well, this is something called the Derrick Rose Law or something that
the
we're not.
The Rose Rule, yeah.
The Rose Rule that. Well, Jimmy, just quickly.
I would say do the Rose Rule on your own time because I think it's from the old CBA, which Bobby Marks would be familiar with. I don't think that there's any way that is still an active rule.
Okay. And I've heard others. I think it was Jones last night say his understanding, without giving you all the permutations, is that it doesn't apply to the Celtics as long as they go after Anthony Davis after Kyrie Irving resigns. In other words, if they wanted to trade for Anthony Davis right now, that Rose Law would get in the way. But you're not trading for him right now. He's not going right now. It would really be in a year or two, right? And at that point, Kyrie Irving is resigned and the Rose Rule no longer applies. That freaking league, Jimmy, I'm telling you.
Oh, no,
I think Jones is right on that, but I think the rule is from the old CBA and isn't relevant. And I know for a fact that the Celtics spent most of the NBA trade deadline working on Anthony Davis stuff. I know that for a fact. 100% fact.
So suck on that, anyone who wants
to. So if they can't trade for him this offseason, it's not because of any technical stupid rule that Bobby Marks just pulled out of his skull.
Excellent. I think Jimmy had a slice. Yeah. He had something. Because you're right. He did. He perked right up.
These stupid NBA rules.
Nick in Norwood. Go ahead, Nick. What do you got?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Murray, I got a real problem with your Red Sox take earlier when you opened up the show. Not really impressed. I mean, they're at the top of the league. They're a half game, get it, ahead of the Astros. You're basically holding it against them that the rest of the league sucks. If you ask me, the Red Sox are doing their job, and based on their track record from the past couple years, that hasn't been the case. So I would say that alone is impressive. And quick question for you. Would you say the Astros have been impressing you?
This season, no. It looks like there's a bit of a World Series hangover there. But, Nick, how confident are you about this team right now going into October?
Well, that's an unknown, obviously, but based on their track record, I would say not confident. But what they're doing this year is not the same as what they have been doing. Therefore, I have to change my expectations to say that, all right, maybe something is actually different this year.
Well, yeah, but I'm sorry. Yeah, Nick, what's different?
Second in the league in home run.
Very good. They're hitting home runs. That's true.
Top in the league in slugging percentage. They're top in the league in batting average. They're second in the league in RBIs.
Okay.
They're at the top in every hitting statistic.
But they've been a great offensive team for years. They haven't been a power team. That's the difference.
No, but the offense has changed because of J.D. Martinez.
I'll grant you, there's no question. The Martinez has changed it. They're hitting more home runs, no doubt about it. Their run production? How much of an increase has their run production been this year versus the previous two? I'd like to see that. You know, are they scoring more runs or not? They probably are, but is it dramatic? The power numbers are dramatic, and that makes them a better team. That's true. Your starters still, there's not one of them who has a postseason win as a starter, and your bullpen kind of blows.
Kind of? No, it does blow.
Your manager's better.
Yep. Ish.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give that to you. Your manager's better.
And they're
Run-wise, they're on pace to score about 150 more this year than last year.
So that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a lot. So, I don't know, maybe, Hook, you think they're different?
I think they're potentially different. This is the thing.
No, I don't want to hear potentially. No. Are they different? Do you look at him and say it's a different team?
Then, no, I'm not ready to say that yet. They're scoring more runs, but when he says they look different from last, well, they did their job during the regular season last year and the year before. They won the division. They had the, I think, third best record in the American League last year. Granted, it was like 10 games behind the other two best records. But the question is October, right? Last year? Year before, you said they're going to win the division, they're going to make it to October, and then we'll see. And I don't feel any differently about this team. They may make it to October a different way, but I still absolutely 100% say, and there's a then we'll see when it comes to October.
I don't know how you can feel otherwise. I mean, you look at this team right now, they're on pace for, what, 108 wins, whatever it is? Like, you put them on up there with the late 90s Yankees, the 2007 Red Sox? I don't. It's skewed because the competition blows.
More of your calls on an Agenda Free Friday. Long commercial free segment is next with free wrestling tickets if you want them.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tomahawked into right deep. Calhoun back, turning, kissing goodbye! Two-run homer for JBJ. It was an absolute laser beam. His sixth home run of the season, breathing room for the Red Sox.
When Jackie Bradley Jr. is hitting, there are 12, okay? Trade JBJ. Get him out of here. Look, guys, he's hitting. He did it tonight.
Blah, Hawk, yeah. Blah.
Yeah. Well, how about the catch he made in the first inning? Blah. He's like Superman out there.
I had the game on with the sound down. So I saw the home run, and then I saw the close-ups of Jackie and the dugout, and then the replay of the catch and the close-ups of Jackie, and they spent all this time on Jackie, and I'm like, I'm not turning this up because I know what they're saying. I know exactly what they're saying right now. Can I give you a loose interpretation of what they're saying?
Yeah, please.
Oh, I guess he doesn't suck.
Where's your 200 watch now, Jones?
I just, you know, I didn't turn the sound on, so I don't know what they were saying. But in my head, that's what they were saying. Four games, four. He was only hitting three of them. Because one of them, he went 1-for-4. He went 1-for-4, Hook, in one game, and his batting average went up. Imagine that. He goes 1-for-4 midway through the season, and the batting average went up. That's how badly he sucked.
And the thing is that apparently, you know, again, four games. So what does this mean? That the first 80 or the first 75 don't count? We're supposed to believe that these four games, they mean something.
Yeah.
The first 70 he played in, those don't mean anything. Those are the aberration.
Screw your big sample size, Hook. Yeah.
So does the home run really count if it's off Noe Ramirez, who sucks so bad he couldn't make your team?
Yes, and let's be clear.
That was an 0-2
pitch,
wasn't it?
Off Anaheim. Did Anaheim win a single game against the Red Sox?
No, they did not. No.
So what are we talking about here? Jackie Bradley Jr. having a good four games against a AAA squad? Well, yay for him, pal. Yay for him.
He's so good, they felt the need to go get a right-handed bat to play off the bench. And guess who likes the move? What's this guy's name? Pierce? What's the first
name?
Steve Pierce.
This is like upset. And I still have free wrestling tickets for you. Free. So if you want wrestling tickets, stick around.
I had to read this twice.
Yeah, I can't believe this actually happened. But guess who liked the move? Guess who liked the signing of Steve Pierce or the trade, however they got him? Guess who liked it? Maz.
Oh.
Wait. He even wrote us an email. He said, boys. And this now becomes the email of the day. Not that you need my 2 cents, but this Steve Pierce move is actually a half-decent pickup. Which, for Maz, that is high praise, man. I'm telling you, that is like laying it on thick. He says it's actually a half-decent pickup. Better than I thought the Red Sox would get for this kind of role. He says I'd take him over that bum Mark Canha in a heartbeat. So he still felt the need to rip somebody. Pierce has a relatively long history of being functional. Again, high praise from Maz. Of being functional against lefties, and he has some power too. My recollection is that he's a butcher defensively. Still in the middle of this. He still feels the.
Yeah.
He still finds the time to rip everybody. He's a butcher defensively, but he can probably play left field at Fenway. Who can't? And right field in places like New York and Baltimore. He can get, among other guys, Jackie Bradley and Mitch Moreland out of the lineup against lefties. Moreland has done okay against left-handers this year, but Pierce will be a better option, maybe even as a pinch hitter against tougher lefties. And he actually gives you some stats. Maz did more show prep when he wasn't working than he does on most days. This year, among all AL players with at least 50 plate appearances against lefties, Pierce ranks 21st among 129 eligible batters in OPS. Oh, this is good. This is good. Let me go back. Among all AL players with at least 50 plate appearances against lefties, Pierce ranks 21st among 129. Guess where Jackie Bradley ranks?
Dead last.
124.
Oh, I was going to go 126.
125, and that's probably up. Probably yeah. After that, it was a home run off a lefty last night, wasn't it? I bet before he might have been lower, but 124 out of 129. Nunez, who's been a huge letdown this year, is 118 out of 129. Devers is 94th, so they need a right-handed bat. Which, again, as an aside, why not just go pick up Hanley if he did nothing wrong, Pete?
Right, yeah. If he's been absolved.
He's been completely exonerated. Why don't we go back and pick up Hanley? He's a right-handed bat. He's free. You're already paying him.
Oh, right, because he said on Instagram he's just done right now. He wants to be with his family.
Instead, you're going and getting Steve Pierce, again, who Maz actually likes. He says, in any case, just passing that along, this guy has bounced around between Baltimore and Tampa, among others, and I always thought he was a pretty decent role player. I know this will sound shocking, given my lack of panning most things the Red Sox do, but I don't mind the move. Please consider this a candidate for email of the day. Happy 4th.
I was stunned. Again, signed, I had to read it twice. I was like, did he really send this?
Maz is under the influence.
Right.
He is. He had a colonoscopy yesterday and is still feeling the effects of the getting a hose up his keister and heavy drugs.
He's delirious on Percocet or something.
Leads the gall of this guy. Oh, who is this guy to say, I don't mind the move and that he's functional and that.
Just a journeyman, six teams in 12 years.
Like, half decent pickup, functional, and he doesn't mind the move. That for Maz? Is like gushing. That's like gushing.
You might as well have kissed Dave Dombrowski on the lips.
So, Steve Pierce.
Hey, maybe it works out. Look, the Eduardo Nunez thing worked out for this team last year, you know, before he blew out his knee in the playoffs, but Nunez was arguably their best offensive player for the second half after they brought him in. So maybe this is what Pierce can bring in, at least in the bottom of the lineup.
And I'll say, you know, tying this back to Bradley Jr., even though he blows, he's not an issue. Like,
no, they need to rotate it.
I mean, he's not a problem. They're still scoring a billion runs. The problem is the eighth inning, and their starters haven't proven it in the postseason. None of these guys have proven it in the postseason. The whole team hasn't, frankly. But that eighth inning is an albatross.
Oh, no, they still need a bat. It. There's still going to be dips here, as good as this offense
you
is.
You think they really need a bat?
Yeah.
I'm not spending anything on it.
They really didn't.
Right, give me all the Steve Pierce's you want. But I'm not like giving up assets for a bat. I'm giving up assets for a bullpen.
No, but they needed someone else to rotate in there, you know, someone other than Brock Holt, Eduardo Nunez, who's playing second or whatever, someone else to come off the bench. They're going to need that because there's going to be dips again. Again, a few weeks ago, they lost the series to the Chicago White Sox, who were dreadful. So they needed another bat. I like the move.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.